This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Morning, afternoon, evening, and good night, sinners and spinners of the world. This is the Cubby House, episode number 5. Celebrate good times.
Come on.
I haven't even said anything, and I'm already cracking up. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Cookie.
Hello, Ryan.
We've reached 5. It's half of 10, which is a milestone in podcasting.
It is. It's like 4 more than 1.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we can't compete with some of the other podcasts who have actually got close to the presidential run of... No, I won't go there.
You mean like over 200?
No, I was thinking like 44, as in Barack Obama's now the 44th president.
Oh.
Yeah, not going there.
Think positive.
Anyway, on the Cubby House this week, we've got a bit of a skit thanks to Jack, which we're calling Better Dens and Forests. We've also got Ryan, who we have alluded to before, who's mentioned about Agony Aunt. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that this week. We've also got a few shout-outs, about 5 at least that we can think of guys and girls that we like to say hello to. But first,
Better Dens and Forests.
Hello, world!
Thanks for listening to the Cubby House podcast this week.
This week, we are here at the Cubby House. We are here to help.
That's right, Ryan. With the current economic situation, everybody has got to tighten their belts and pinch pennies wherever they can.
But you can still have all the fun, excitement, and adventure you had before.
That's right, Cookie. With a few small adjustments, you can be kinky and debauched at only a fraction of the price. This week on the Cubby House, I will teach you how to make your own harness with a crochet hook and 2 curtain rings.
This week, I'll teach you how to make your own sling with an old children's jungle gym.
And this week, I will be in the kitchen making something that will drive the guys wild.
Then what are we waiting for? Let's go to it! Have you ever shrieked at the high price of leather goods? I know that I have, but with a little bit of skill and creativity, you can have almost the same effect at a fraction of the cost. All you need is a cotton thread, some knitting needles, 2 curtain rings, and some metallic spray paint. Firstly, measure yourself, get a tape measure, and find out the distance between the center of your chest and the center of your back. Now that you have the distance, cast onto the first knitting needle. You don't want to make it too thick, so depending on how thick your thread is, it will determine how many stitches you have. Between 5 and 10 should be fine. Next, keep on knitting back and forth until you have the correct length. Repeat this process 4 times. Most people find knitting very therapeutic. Next, get your spray can and paint the curtain rings metallic silver. Don't inhale the fumes, boys. It's bad for your brain. Lastly, connect the 4 straps to the curtain rings. There are a few ways to do this. You can stitch it on, use Velcro, or you can knit it onto the curtain rings. Done! Cookie is wearing one right now. How does it feel?
I feel sexy. I feel dangerous. No, it looks ridiculous.
Nonsense! In this recession, I predict that wool will be the new leather. And why not? You can make your harness in any colours. This one I prepared earlier has a nice yellow motif. May I remind you that this is machine washable. And this one has a nice red motif. Lovely. Let's see what Cookie is working on in the workshop. What are you working on, Cookie?
Well, like I said, I'm going to turn this old swing set and turn it into a sling that you can be proud of.
I'll leave it to you.
Okay, in front of me is an old swing set. Now, when I found this swing set, it was going to be thrown out. But just because the kids have grown up and moved out of home doesn't mean that the kids can't have some fun in it. You can find a swing set like this through friends, during a hard rubbish collection, or secondhand. The first thing you should keep in mind is to look for any signs of structural instability. If your sling falls on top of you while you're on it, you're going to have a fairly bad time. Just in case, I've secured chains around the base of the swing set so when I'll be on it, the weight disperses evenly over the structure. Now, at the top of the frame, we're going to weld some hooks, and we'll be hanging the sling on these a little bit later. Because this is a pink swing set, the next thing we're going to have to do is paint it black. And you can do this with either good old spray paint or the damn good paintbrush. Next is the actual sling itself. You can buy one pre-prepared from a leather shop or online. Personally, I prefer to try before I buy. You can buy these chains needed to keep up the harness from the leather shop, or you can also get them from your good old local hardware. Now, last of all, fit the sling onto your supporting structure. This will depend on how high off the ground you want it, or the fittings, or your structure has.
Wow, this looks great. Do you mind if I try it on?
Sure.
This is quite comfortable.
Now, we have the harnesses and we have the sling. We're almost ready for our budget orgy, but something is missing.
Ryan's in the kitchen fixing it up right now.
Oh, hello there. I'm Ryan, and today I'm going to show you how to make your own personal lubricant using ingredients commonly found in your kitchen. I would like to personally thank Flash Monkey from Instructables.com for the recipe. All you need is 1 cup of water and 4 teaspoons of cornstarch. Mix the two in a pot and slowly bring the boil at a low to medium heat.
Wow, what smells so good?
Lubricant. Brings them every time.
That stuff in the pot looks a bit icky.
No, that's okay. It's supposed to be like that. Just keep on stirring and be patient. Now get out of my kitchen.
Ow!
Scat! No pun intended, children. Anyway, let it boil for a bit. Once it has a gelatin-like, cloudy, opaque quality to it, put it in a container and allow it to cool down to room temperature. There was one guy who didn't allow it to cool properly. That poor son of a bitch. I keep a photo in my wallet at all times as a reminder. Do you want to have a look? Isn't that the grossest thing you've ever seen?
Are you showing them my photo?
No. Anyway, don't put it into the fridge or freezer. Use it up within a few days. And here you go. 1 cup of lube for 50 cents. And here's one I prepared earlier.
Are you finally done with that lube?
Yeah, I'm getting blue balls waiting for you.
Yeah, Cookie, could you please get the lube for me?
Sure thing.
Cookie, that's the hot lube.
I know.
Cookie, Ryan, and I need a bit of time alone right now. Thanks for joining us. Next week, we'll show you how to do electrical stimulation with some wires, some clamps, and a potato.
Ooh, I wouldn't want to miss that for the world.
Goodbye, bye, everybody.
Special thanks to
Ian Bennett of Canada, who allowed us to use his song Perceptus Morning Glory as the theme for this skit.
Let's have a little discussion about woofing in public.
Mm.
So, Jack, do you think it's appropriate to woof people in public? I mean, for example, if you go on websites such as BearW and Bear411, you can click on people's profiles and sign their guest books as woof or grr. So is it appropriate for you to actually wander into, for argument's sake, the Laird and say woof to a complete stranger?
Yes, I've had it done to me. And I've probably done it to a couple of people. It's a way of saying I'm interested, but not particularly keen on making conversation.
In other words, you may bed now.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that.
Well, you don't really need to make conversation to go to bed with someone.
You're right. There's a lot of people that use hand gestures and sign language to do that.
Ryan?
Woof. What?
Woof.
Yes. We've meow, got... Cookie.
Ooh, being non-conformist.
Or lesbian, I suppose.
I think we've got a lot of sexy listeners. Well, so, woof to all of them. Sinners and spinners.
What I'd like to know is woofing outside the lead, outside the internet scope, on the streets, is woofing acceptable on the streets away from any gay pride or whatever parade you go through?
I would argue 100 times no, especially if you've got a lady involved, because if you go woof to a bear, then that's like, hey, you're hot. But if you go woof to a lady, it's like, hey, you're a dog.
Who let the dogs out?
Woof, 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 woof.
Is that not woof whistling?
That's not the same thing. If you go woof at a woman, it's like you're...
But we're a gay bear cub podcast. Who in their right mind would we would do that to a woman.
But it could be misinterpreted. Like, you're in the supermarket and you find someone that's attractive in front of you, but the person at the side might think it was for them. Some of them might be having a bad day, and having being said woof might be either confusing or very off-putting.
And just be careful if you go into the dog section and you pick up a section of biscuits, woof, with extra crunch. Just don't say that out loud either. Mm.
Yes, you've lost me. I have absolutely no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Doggy biscuits.
Yeah, I
called woof with extra crunch,
mm-hmm.
which isn't actually available yet, but I'm sure it will be one day.
So anyway, Jack, as you were saying.
Ignoring Cookie, we'll just flag him for non sequitur, okay? We're going to invent categories.
We're not picking up what you're putting down, so that's a flag.
At this point, I'd like to have like a people's choice flag. So just send in an email with a time that and the person and the violation, and we'll tally it up.
Speaking of tallying up flags, just quickly on a sidetrack, we are actually going to do an ultimate flag for the end of the year, because we've been trying to establish the flag system where we're going to be, as of next year, bringing in instant punishments for those who get flagged. But to tally up what we've done so far, there's going to be an ultimate punishment towards the end of the year where somebody is going to be punished royally for the amount of flags.
Do we have any idea what that punishment could be yet?
Well, we're thinking something like filming a cold shower or body shaving. I don't know. We'll see what we can come up with.
But we're welcoming all ideas from people who might have an idea of what they'd like to see.
Podcast at thecubbyhouse.net.au. Mm-hmm. Please email.
Yes, all of your demented ideas. How do you want to punish Cookie?
Well,
and on camera.
Yeah, but considering you, Jack, and I are probably the closest on the tally so far, I wouldn't be asking for too much.
Yeah, but keep in mind it's something that's got to be YouTube worthy, not XTube worthy.
Very true.
What? Can't it be both?
Maybe we could have a director's cut.
Yeah. Or uncut.
When the three of us get into the cold shower together.
It'd have to be a friggin' big shower. Oh, I know. We could go to like one of those display homes and do it there. That would be hard.
So, woofing in public, general public, not acceptable, but in a bare leather scene, acceptable, yes?
I have a funny story about the whole woofing in public. When we were younger, we didn't woof people. We gave them a number, like out of 10. And one time, a friend of ours walked past some pretty cute blonde guys.
Was this in your twink days?
Yes. And these hot young blonde guys said to our friend, 9. And he was all like, oh, I'm a 9, I'm a 9. And I'm like, no, they're so much hotter than you. They wouldn't think you're a 9, trust me. And we walked past them and we realized that they were German tourists. And 9 is German for no. So yes, that kind of backfired. But it was really funny. Anyway, I wolf at everybody. Well, not everybody, just people that are woofable. Even if I'm by myself and I see tradesmen and I'm just like, oh, woof, I don't care. Yeah. I say it.
I say it in the car where nobody can hear me, but that's another story.
Mm. I think it's perfectly acceptable in circumstances where if, I don't know, with straight men, they might find it flattering.
If they knew what it means.
Well, true.
Some do.
Mm. So what's the group consensus on this? 2 thumbs up?
1 thumb down, yeah. 2 up, 1 down, I'd say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm not for it. If you're amongst your peers... And
3 thumbs down?
Where's my 3rd thumb?
Well, we won't go there. We can leave that for the XTube video.
Oh, in that case, just 2 for the moment. And maybe 3 for later on.
Well, it's 3 for me, so there you go.
Agony aunt. Ryan.
Cookie.
What is the agony aunt that you alluded to a couple of shows ago?
Do you remember the old show, Beauty and the Beast, with Stan Zemanek? And there was a few other different types of shows like that.
The one you're referring to is one guy in the center giving a central point of view, and then like 6 other girls around him giving the ladies' point of view.
Yeah, exactly. People used to write in with their problems, and eventually they just have a group discussion and try and work out their problems for them. That's, I think, I would like to do at the Cubby House, where we're 3 young, fit, virile men. We've got 3 different ways of thinking, the way we've grown up and all that sort of stuff are completely different. So I think that if we put our heads together, we can help out the general public and become El Presidente of Australia.
Yeah, that's heads on our necks.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that. That was a very, very nearly flaggable offence, but okay, sure, we'll go with that.
You left the double entendre open.
I think it's worthwhile noting that we are not professionals. We are not Fraser Cranes. We are not Dr. No. We're not Dr. Laura's for our international audiences out there. That's right. I don't like Dr. Laura.
No, we're just the equivalent of your buddies who you may not feel comfortable talking with your buddies face to face. We'd like to help you understand your problem, or maybe not a problem, if that's the case. So
people would call the agony aunt and brag about their successes, maybe?
Yeah, but we wouldn't broadcast them. We would just say, yep, good for you. Next.
Now, you've brought in this topic because you thought you have one that would get the ball rolling?
I did. I think one of the biggest, most rounded days, especially in this day and age, is probably depression. A lot of people suffer it. A lot of people aren't aware what's going on. You know, if people aren't suffering from it, they certainly know somebody that is. And I just wanted to have a little roundtable discussion about what depression is, how have we dealt with it personally, and how we can fix our listeners' issues if we can. To start off with, we'll go for a little 60-minute sort of thing and talk about depression, which actually is a mental disorder, which is typically characterized by a pervasive low mood, low self-esteem, and loss of interest or pleasure in the usual activities. Other symptoms include poor concentration and memory, withdrawal from social situations and activities, reduced sex drive, insomnia, loss of appetite, and even thoughts of death and suicide.
Guilty apart from the last two.
But I mean, you don't have to be suffering from those things. You don't have to, you know, be going through those things to be suffering from depression.
Hmm.
You could be just going through a bad time or whatever. There are all types of different types of depression. For example, there's the major depressive disorder, which is pretty self-explanatory. There's dysthymia, which is like the minor depressive disorder. There's bipolar disorder, which is manic depression. There's cyclothymia, which is mild bipolar. There's schizoaffective disorder, which is schizophrenia. There's adjustment disorder, which is aka stress, and postnatal depression, which is obviously clinical depression after having a baby. There are different ways of getting depression. Sometimes it's biological, sometimes you're born with it, sometimes it's biochemical. But there are ways to deal with it. Some use medication, some use extracurricular activities, but other way to deal with it is simply through talking about it. And that's why we are here.
Off come the glasses and
roundtable discussion, gentlemen. Let's get out the brandy and the cigars.
This is particularly relevant at the time of recording, which is just after Movember finished, which was a part of a national, international initiative to do with depression and prostate cancer.
Yes.
So, congratulations to everyone who raised money for that.
And for those who actually grew Mo's just for their purpose, me not included.
I was so not with it just then. I was
growing
like,
Mo's for Movember.
Yeah, no, but I was just too busy thinking about guys with Mo's. They lift me from a depressed state, I tell you.
Yes. Well, although I didn't have a Mo or anything like that at the time, I have to admit I, at some point, did go through a bout of depression, which had a lot to do with the work circumstances I was suffering at the time when I was doing an apprenticeship. Now, the situation was, I'd come out at work and was very naive about the people who I was working with at the time and not picking up the signs that they were actually being homophobic towards me. Now, every time I went back, I was basically a higher apprentice, so I'd go out to a job and then when they were finished, send me back. Every time I came back, the report was I was too slow, wasn't good enough, they were attacking my performance, which was, from the way they were coming, a very legal perspective. So over the course of a year, I've come back all these times and saying I'm too slow, but I can't be. Nobody's told me I'm too slow. I've proven myself here and there, yet they keep saying the same thing. What's going on? It wasn't until I'd actually got to the point where I left that company that it made me realize it wasn't me that was the problem, it was them. They didn't like me. Once I learned that that was the problem, everything seemed a lot more fine. I got on with life. And it's just the fact that I couldn't explain a certain reaction to other people that was putting me down that I got depressed. And I was very thankful for particularly my parents at the time because they were very supportive. They didn't understand exactly what I was going through because they were dealing with a slightly different trade than what I was, and it was just good to know that although they didn't understand, they were still there for me. And that's probably what didn't drag it onto the real low depression, which I do know some people suffer. What about you guys? What experiences have you kind of had with your own lives and depression?
Who wants to go first?
Monsieur Jack? Well, I've done my little sort of, you know, 60 minutes, I'm Richard Carlton kind of thing with my talk about depression, so go right ahead.
Well, I suppose you could say that, well, my mother always said that I was a sad child, which is a, it's not a good thing when your mother says that. But I think back when I was about 14, 15, when I was starting to come to terms with my identity and my sexuality, and at the same time I was a member of the Uniting Church, so you've kind of got all these forces coming together as to who you are, who everybody expects you to be. And it all kind of came together in a rather calamitic, a rather awful way. It got to a point where I felt as though my thought processes were being split into three different parts, as which were all conflicting with each other. It's like there were the three different selves, how you've got one down the middle, which is kind of helpless and just listening to everything that the other two sides are talking about. While you're on one side, you'd have this voice, this thought, this line of thinking that would say, you shit at everything, nobody likes you, and you're not doing anything about it because you suck and you're hopeless, and that's pretty much how it would be, that you're a sinner, that you're going to hell, and etc. And at the other point, on the other side, you've got this other line of thinking which is saying, you know, you're a nice person, you're trying, you're doing the best for yourself. You've got friends and they care about you very much. People actually love you, mate. So you've kind of got this feeling which is just making you scream inside, really, because everybody's kind of coming, the two sides are coming at, and you've got really no way of reconciling with those two very polarized things. But I think it was at one point where I had an epiphany when I was kind of alone, where I realized that I was loved. So
how did you come to that epiphany, just out of curiosity?
I think it was just at, it was actually at church. There was this, they had the names of everyone that was part of the group that I was in, and how I was just saying that they are part of the group, that they are loved, and kind of when you start on that line of thinking, you kind of remember all those other nice things that people have said, that eventually that the good side, the good line of thinking, the good voice kind of gets a bit of a foothold, a bit of a stronger voice, at which point it kind of negates all the other counter arguments and puts it in their place.
The reason I ask is this tale you've described is what I would consider a typical sinner and saints, like devil and angel kind of argument, which a lot of people have. And some people, I find, they find it easy to accept what is negative and what is bad, and they will not try and fight it, and they won't contemplate even putting energy into accepting that there is the other half. And then there are those people like yourself and myself who, as much as it gets us down, we know that there is going to become a day where everything will turn around and everything will become good. And it's just a matter of finding that key to unlock the door to go past the conundrum into a positive direction. What about yourself, Ryan?
I completely identify as well with the whole, you know, devil on one shoulder, angel on the other. I think that I also associate it with sometimes, you know, I'm either in gear one or gear five. I'm just very meh about everything, or I'm very hyped up and, oh my God, got to do it now, ADD about the whole thing. And my story of depression came about pretty much like most people. I think the statistic is 1 out of every four people have been sexually abused, and I was when I was a child, and so that's how it sort of came about. I mean, I'm fine with it now. I don't wake up in cold sweats or anything. The person who abused me as a child, I still know and see to this day, and I don't, you know, it's not like, you know, everything becomes like Kill Bill, where everything goes red and I see, you know, sirens start going off and things like that. I don't even think about it. That's the one. You're picking up what I'm putting down. But also for me, when I was in high school, you know, I came out and it was the same thing as you. People picked on me and I got, rocks thrown at me and got called a faggot and, you know, lots of punch-ups and things like that. And I just learned to sort of, the only way that I sort of dealt with it personally was I just removed myself from the situation. I quit school, I went to TAFE, and I finished high school there. And I think that's probably the best thing anybody can do to deal with if it's something to do with work, if it's a relationship, or anything to do, if that's what's bringing you down, then fine. You just simply take yourself out of that situation. And if you're still having those issues, then it's probably something you might need to talk to a counsellor about. I mean, as soon as I removed myself from the issue, I was fine.
The problem I find is sometimes you can't remove yourself from a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Classic example of you're working, you're supporting somebody or somebodies, and you can't just up and leave. You haven't got anywhere to go to. You still need money. They still need food on the table, roof over their head, bills paid, etc. You can't remove yourself from the situation. Obviously, there's seeking professional help, being at a counsellor mm-hmm. or something of the equivalent. What's some other things that we could just roughly say has helped us in days where we've just felt like crap, needed to get an out, couldn't find an out directly, but have found some other means of escape indirectly?
I used to work at a smash repair shop, and for all those people that are outside of Australia, a smash repair shop is like where you go and get your car fixed, like a body shop or something like that. And, you know, it's very homophobic. A lot of the words like faggot and things like that get used, which personally, it doesn't really bother me. It's just another word. But, and it was never directed at me, but these words were thrown around a lot. And I used to get funny looks from people and things like that. And my boss said some offensive words, not personally directed at me, but they were still, I've still found them offensive. So I confronted him about it. I think that most people, if you don't speak up and say something about it, people don't realize that they're being offensive. If they are still going out of their way to be offensive, then you need to speak to a higher power. You need to go over their head, speak to your boss, your supervisor, or even an HR or something like that.
I don't really have a lot to add to that, but it seems as though people tend to find escape in a lot of different things. A lot of them don't seem particularly positive. I mean, you've got the obvious outlet that comes to mind, which is drugs. And then you've got video games, which a lot of people also find escapism in that.
Yes, I can agree with the escapism of video games.
Well, there's all sorts of escapism.
Well, that's right. Music in itself is an escapism.
Mm.
Like, I find when I'm driving around, I can't stop necessarily, take my time because I'm going to let somebody out of a lift, or a lift's broken down, a customer's screaming. So while I'm getting frustrated, while I'm en route to a particular job, which is taking me away from yet another job which I'm trying to get done, I find turning up the radio or a particular song on the CD and tuning out and actually listening to that song, or if it's a podcast I'm listening to on my MP3 player, tuning into that until I get to the job. That way I get there with a clearer head. I'm not carrying burdens, which I've then built up getting to that job. So I don't then go and go rah-rah at the client for no reason. Just ways to distract yourself, I suppose you could say, in those brief moments in the day that you do get built up over something and you just need to either let it out. I know of guys who, if they get really frustrated, they'll go to a boxing gym and, you know, box for an hour just to physically let the anger and the venting out. You know, other guys go to bloody karaoke and sing till they've got no lungs. It's all ways of, there are things sometimes that you can't deal with alone. And if you can't talk about it, then it needs to come out in some other way, basically.
I've heard about people that, to fill that void inside them, I think I've used that term too many times in this podcast already, but they do it by having meaningless flings, just going one after the other, after the other, after the other.
Well, I guess that's another form of escapism.
But would that reduced feeling of self-esteem that is associated with depression also equate to a lower, well, I suppose it would, to a lower sense of worth?
Yes and no. There is the type which you were alluding to, which would be, I can sleep with anybody, I don't care what happens to my body sort of attitude. There are those that need love, and although they can't get it with one person on a constant level, either they haven't found the right person or they haven't clicked with somebody they like, they go out and find, you know, I wouldn't call it conquest, but people to, at the time, keep them company, be it sex or be it just, you know, contact in a physical way. It's a need to affirm, I suppose you could say, their own self-worth and the fact that somebody does like them or love them, even if it's only for 5 minutes. I actually conform to the latter at the moment. Given my own opinion of where I am in life, I personally need to find other people to, at times, go and just give hugs to close friends, or if it's a little bit deeper, somebody who I can go and shag that night, just to kind of feel I am still loved, although there is a constant void in the other side of the bed that I know one day will be filled, it just isn't there yet.
Now, it seems as though, when it comes to depression statistics, that among the GBLTIQ community, that it seems to be quite elevated proportionally to the heterosexual majority. So it seems as though sexuality and everything around it is a cause of depression. I mean, I can recall back to my own experience where you've got this voice saying, it's all wrong, you shouldn't do that. And then you've got the other one saying, yes, it's okay, you're just being yourself, it's healthy, it's normal, and there are people out there if you're actually going to seek them out. I remember at one point I actually went to a bookshop and bought a book about sexual purity and had good intentions that I would stave off masturbation until marriage. That lasted about 30 days.
Congratulations.
It had an explosive finish, so it wasn't all bad.
Champagne on ice.
But I suppose there'd be chances would say that there are quite a few people in the closet that are listening to this podcast right now. So I think the point that goes to be said is that, yes, there are people out there that you're not alone, and the experience and what you might be experiencing right now is not necessarily something that you really are facing on your own.
That's right. So if you do feel like you want to talk to somebody, or you've got something on your mind that you'd like to get off your chest, you can contact us at podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au is our direct email to the whole three of us. There is also Facebook, which you can add The Cubby House. There is Skype, which you can add The Cubby House, or you can call
9005-PLAY.
And if you'd like to check out our website, it is thecubbyhouse.net.au.
But of course, we are not professionals. If you are experiencing depression right now, then maybe it's not exactly something to do with your living situation or your social circumstance. Sometimes it is purely chemical, so maybe it might be a good idea to seek some advice from a psychiatrist.
You know how that we say about food, if in doubt, throw it out. If in doubt, go see a doctor.
Also, there are websites out there, www.beyondblue.org.au. If you are living locally, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is out there. Just Google them, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, and they have people on the phones waiting to hear your story, receive your call.
Before we wrap up this week's show, we do have a good couple of shout-outs, and I must say, the first shout-out I would like to mention is the good guys at the Cubs Out Loud podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
You give us warm, tingly feelings once a week, which is a good thing.
Well, more than once a week for me, but that's normally when I'm just alone in bed.
I must say a big thanks to Jeff and Tim in particular, who allowed me to join their podcast today, actually, because they had a technical stuff up with the one they recorded yesterday.
Which episode is that?
It's episode 45, if I do know correctly, or 44, the latest one that's out this week, talking about the best of bear picks.
Ah, bingo. All the fours, 44.
Indeed. Mm. Yes. So, thank you very much to the Cubs Out Loud. You can check them out at cubsoutloud.com.
We've got a lot of work to do to catch up to them.
That's indeed correct.
This is my final show for this year. So,
big shout out to you for the rest of the year.
I'll be interstate. But don't worry, we've got replacements lined up for me. Hopefully they're not quite as good as me, so I won't be replaced and left cold on the street.
Well, that's fine. I know one of them's going up to Sydney early next year, so you won't have to worry about him. Mm-hmm. The other one, we'll see.
We'll see if the intruder stays in the big cubby house, or or if you'll make a big comeback and kick him out.
Yes. I believe I've actually got a hello from somebody who you've also been speaking to, Ryan.
Who? Who is that?
I think a guy from Vancouver by the name of Ken.
Ken! Oh, Ken, you're a doll. Love you long time. And Ken is going to actually be here next month in January for tennis for the Aussie Open.
Melbourne.
How lame is that?
Oh, come on. You haven't watched You haven't watched some of those tennis players?
I like the women's tennis purely for the grunting.
Ah!
Oh, it's hilarious. Oh, it's better than porn. Well, not better than porn, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yes.
It coincides with Melbourne's Midsummer Festival, doesn't it, though?
It does indeed. I didn't even think of that.
Very true. Yes. Big shout out to our first known female listener, Chloe, and her excellent partner, Ben, who actually I both work with. So there you go. Ben is very wolfy. But I know.
Chloe, you lucky bitch.
Mm. We've bridged the gender gap. Now we've just got to cross the final frontier.
I have to admit, though, out of all the guys who are at and have been at the company which I'm currently working for, a big wolf to Jeff. That is Jeff, the one I replaced, who went off to work for another company. I'd wolf him any day.
So they got rid of one wolfy man and they replaced it with an even wolfier man.
Supposedly so.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Cookie, stop putting out your dirty laundry out for everyone to hear it. Nobody cares.
Oh, he's horny. Leave him alone.
Thank you.
Sinners and spinners, that's the end of the Cubby House for this week. I am Jack, and I'm the one with the class and the words that come out of my mouth.
As opposed to us, who also have words out of our mouth, but thanks for that. Yes. I'm Ryan. I'm the sarcastic one, and I laugh a lot, and I zone out and stuff.
And an alcoholic.
I'm not an alcoholic. You are.
you are. Yeah.
No, flag.
Flag!
You sang Britney. Oh, get the crucifix now.
Oh, dear. You.
Yes. And I'm Cookie, the technical, slightly geeky, slightly okay, cool, and whatever you want to call me. Yeah, smart. I'm just me. Well, that too. The one with the dungeon studio, yes. We all admit that now, yes. Mm. I wasn't joking about that sling. I actually built it the way I specified.
Was it pink?
No, it was blue.
Oh.
So it could have sufficed, but anyway.
Mm. It was funnier being pink.
You know what we could do to dress it up? We could get some of those, you know, remember those old school glow zone stickers? The glow in the dark?
I still have some floating around here.
We'll put that on your sling.
Put some stars on it, make it shining.
I think I have Teletubby ones at home.
But hang on, I have to admit there's been some awesome stars in it already. How can they compare?
Boo!
Yeah, crickets in the background.
Mm. Anyway, thank you very much and catch you next week.
Love you guys.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.